Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Fly route, let's air it out. To a big, like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense. We are continuing back in the day, our off-season look at the Colts wide position. We've gone through the rest of the offense. We've hit the running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers. Now we're about to hit, and we've also hit the tight ends, obviously. Now we're hitting the offensive line as it goes. So we've got some interesting things going on. Obviously, the Colts re-signed Mark Glowinski to a three-year, $18 million deal. And that's obviously very, very good for the Colts up front. Despite losing Dave DeGuglielmo to basically Frank Reich being wanting to shape his staff the way he wants it and sees fit, the Colts offensive line did fantastic last year under him. So we obviously know that we've got Anthony Costanzo at left tackle, Quentin Nelson left guard. We got Ryan Kelly with a couple pieces in depth there as well. Mark Glowinski at right guard. And then it looks like Braden Smith's going to be, you know, ultimately, at least in theory, the right tackle going forward. So we've got a lot in terms of starting potential up front. So that's great for the Colts. And going into this coming season, that's big for the running backs. That's big for Andrew Luck's protection. That's big for just continuity in general. And we talked about this several times over the past couple years even, about the Colts offensive line. And it's not just that, but everything in general. I always put the chemistry ahead of continuity, because it doesn't matter if you've got the same people up there, if they ain't worth a crap together and they don't play well together and they don't have that chemistry, that natural fit with each other, it doesn't matter if you keep the same people around. So the Colts have the chemistry now up front. Keeping them together is a slight secondary, obviously, but it's excellent. It works towards the goal of getting the Colts better completely, to be a complete well-rounded offense. Now they need to add the weapons. They've got the protection. They've got the running game, in theory, with this offensive line. And, you know, we always get into these situations where you've got something going and there's an injury. We could just about bet, especially with the offensive linemen, that there's going to be an injury somewhere. That is almost a given. I mean, it's death and taxes and injuries up front. That just is something that comes every single year. Whether they're serious or not is a completely different ball game. However, you know that somebody's going to be nicked up throughout the season. Having that depth is crucial. Okay, so let's look at kind of the free agents that the Colts have on their squad first. Okay, just so we can do that. Like I said, they locked up Glowinski for the next 3 years. Outside of that, the Colts have two unrestricted. They've got one restricted. Matt Slauson, 33 years old, unrestricted. Jamarcus Webb, 31 years old, unrestricted. And Josh Andrews, 28, restricted. So the Colts have first shot at Josh Andrews if they want him. He's a little older than you would like for a guy that you're just kind of re-signing for depth, but I think that it's possible. It just kind of depends. I think going forward, obviously, we all know that the Colts are going to have a ton of offensive linemen in camp. They're going to bring in guys that they have a little bit of familiarity with, but they're also going to try to bring in some guys that can, you know, potentially be starters themselves. I don't think that the Colts will go out and spend a ton in free agency on offensive line. However, I think that they could sign a couple guys that could legitimately fight for a starting spot. So Slauson, I don't think, would be back. I mean, 33, he was injured last year. He was very, very good, though, while he was there. He was one of the guys coming in to the season that we were worried about. Like, man, he's going to be starting at guard. That's a little scary, because he hadn't been great in years before that. But he was an excellent teammate. The coaches and Ballard, they all talked about how he coached up the younger guys and the guys after he got hurt. So he was a big part of, I think, the Colts' success this year, and they've all kind of led us to believe that that was the case. However, I don't see him coming back simply because of his age and his injury history and all that other good stuff. I think the Colts, you know, making that real change this year to getting younger, especially with some of the depth pieces, and getting stronger. So I think that Matt Slauson's out. Jamarcus Webb didn't do much this past year. He wasn't great at all. I just don't see him to be, you know, coming back.
So the Colts have a little bit different look than they've had in the past. Obviously, so they've got the Josh Andrews and Evan Bame, who's there, who's also only 25, and he is a guy who can play both center and guard. There's some depth there for you. I mean, so you have to like that. That's good for the Colts, and it's good that he got some play this year because he legitimately played pretty stinking well, in my opinion. I mean, he wasn't great. He's obviously not Ryan Kelly when he was in there, but he did do a pretty damn good job, in my opinion, for a guy, especially for a guy who's just not been, you know, not played a whole bunch. They have, obviously, you know, they get LaRaven Clark, who's still under contract, and he's kind of a guy to go back and forth on. They've tried him at guard. They've tried him at tackle. He's not been a standout in either one. He is super athletic, though, and they love that about him. So that's going to be something that the Colts will probably try to replace. But at the same time, I could definitely see him hanging around in camp. You know, he's not a free agent or anything like that, so it's not like they're going to have to get rid of him or they have to do anything with him. They just kind of keep him on there and see what he does. Whoever they bring in throughout, you know, be it the draft or free agency, is all going to battle him and a couple other guys here. Joe Haig, another guy. Quality depth. The Colts have used him plenty of times in the past. He's obviously not better than Glowinski at guard, and he's obviously not better than Braden Smith at right tackle. So they have used him at center as well. So you've got some – not only do you've got a few – key depth pieces, I think, but you've got a few key depth pieces that are interchangeable up front. And that's super important for what the Colts are trying to do with this offensive line. They want that familiarity. You've got some of that. They want that ability to start in a spot situation. They've got that too, because both of those guys have started in the past. And this is something that the Colts going forward are just going to try to build on. They're going to try to get some guys through free agency. They're going to try to get some guys through the draft possibly, or a guy or whatever. But they're going to try to build on a lot of this, okay? Now, in terms of what they've got with reserve future contracts, this isn't a high priority, but you have to at least acknowledge that they're there. Antonio Garcia, who's a 6'7 tackle, big dude. You know, William Poles, guard. He's also a big boy, 6'7". All these guys within their first couple years in the league. DeAndre Wesley, he's a third-year guy out of Brigham Young. And they've also, you know, got a little bit of that youth that they're looking to do, to acquire, I guess you could say, already there. So I don't think that the Colts are going to necessarily stick with these guys, as in they are the, you know, the guys who are just the next guys up, but they obviously like them, and that goes a long way with Chris Ballard. We've seen that. Unless you're a guy who's constantly back and forth between practice squad and being waived, typically those guys are getting, you know, at least some looks in practice and have been hanging around, and they like them. The reserve future contracts isn't the same way. This is just guys that we liked, may not have seen a whole lot of, but we like them. We're going to sign them to a reserve contract or a future contract so that we can get a better look at them. That doesn't mean a whole lot, but it does mean that they're getting a shot. So with what the Colts have going forward, you have to love it. I mean, it is just one of those situations that I don't think anybody really expected the Colts to be in, even this year. Because look, nobody expected Glowinski to play as well as he did. Nobody expected Evan Bame to play as well as he did in the spot start situations for Ryan Kelly. Nobody really expected Braden Smith to excel at right tackle and play pretty damn well throughout the season, especially me. I was one that said, look, you've got Slauson starting at right guard. We've got issues at tackle because the tackle situation was just deplorable through camp. I wanted them to give Braden Smith a chance at right tackle. Many of you who have been longtime listeners will remember this. And he looked awful in training camp. He was terrible. And I was like, okay, thank you for trying it, more or less. Let's move on. Let's make sure that we can find a guy at right tackle who can be decent, who can give the Colts what they need and be a solid player going forward. That wasn't really how it turned out. It was just crazy that the longer he became more acclimated at right tackle, the better he got, the quicker he got, the further he got in his drops, and he had good timing. That was one of the things that a lot of people were noticing with Braden Smith. They were saying, you know, well, I see him get smoked by these speed rushers, but the power guys he seems to be able to do okay with. Well, there's a reason for that, because his timing is everything. Timing when he goes to make that punch, when that defensive end or that outside linebacker comes in to blitz or whoever it is, he had good timing for a lot of the season. A couple of the games he struggled on, he was trying to beat the speed rushers before they could get to him. So he extended his arms. That makes for an easy target for those defensive ends, and they can you know, hit that edge. They can do whatever they want. They can, you know, get a punch on themselves and cut inside. There were all kinds of different reasons, but you saw all the natural instincts. You saw the natural play out of Braden Smith, and I think that they were right. Especially the Colts have talked about how much that you know, Morocco thought that he was, you know, a tackle to begin with, you know, and could play tackle for sure. But the Colts continued to put him at guard. He did well. It was an excellent surprise and a really big boost, in my opinion, for the Colts being able to find a really good chemistry too. So you've got him and Glowinski on the right side of the line. And guys, I mean, we saw what the Colts did this year. You know, protected Andrew Luck better than he's ever been protected. They were able to get the running game going. They were both effective in the running game. And they were able to work off Ryan Kelly, you know, with that chemistry there. So it just worked out very, very well for the Colts. And I think that it's easy to see that the Colts have and are on the right track. They are definitely on the right track at this position, at these positions. Trying to find backups, maybe legit backup for a couple of these spots now, is something they really need to focus on, in my opinion. You need another guy that can legit start at all of these positions. And to do that, this is where Chris Ballard comes into play. Free agency, draft, find these guys who can be legit left tackles if they have to be, or at least be a very good spot starter for Anthony Costanzo. Left guard, I mean, what happens if you lose Quentin Nelson? Does your entire line go down the drain? We've seen Ryan Kelly be able to be subbed a few times. Right guard has kind of mixed around a little bit and was solid still. Right tackle, something that the Colts still really need, in my opinion, to not only battle Braden Smith for starting reps, but to be able to sit in for him if he gets injured. This is a critical offseason for the offensive line, in my opinion, in that regard. They definitely showed that they can go out there, that they've got the starters to do it, and at least the potential with these starters to do it. Now they've got to work on getting guys who can fill in without much of a drop-off. That's the hard part, but it's also a key part to making this offensive line as good as it can be for the future, and the Colts really need that to happen for the next few years. Building on the defense, building on the playmakers, that's great, but if you we've all seen it. When the offensive line goes to hell, things are really difficult to kind of boost back up and get things back on the right track. So that's where we're at with that. I don't really see any of the offensive linemen that are free agents for the Colts right now being any sort of a priority in any way, shape, or form. They're, most of them, like I said, 28, 31, 33. The Colts, they want to get younger than that, and they want to get faster and more athletic, and they want to have a more solid base and a younger group. So I don't think that we'll see any of the offensive linemen for the Colts who are currently free agents will probably be around next year. So we're going to take a quick break, guys, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the free agency pool along the offensive line around the NFL. So we'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back, guys. All right, so let's look around at along the NFL's offensive line free agency group. Now, one of the things that I typically look for, and especially with Ballard because it's been kind of hammered home so much, is you want to look for young guys. Young guys who can be polished, who can be trained and taught and coached to be their best self, more or less. A lot of these guys along the offensive line, 24, 25 years old, only a couple of them have had substantial contracts, so it's not like we can get a great base for these guys, but I mean, Jermaine Illuminor, who's a guy for Baltimore. I mean, these just some names that you have heard. We don't know a lot about these guys. Let's be honest. I'm not an offensive line guru. You're probably not either. But we've got some names that we can recall in our heads to think about who's at least out there and understand that they're young enough to be improved upon, and with great coaching, they can all make a big, big, big improvement between last year and this year, regardless of what their status was. Bobby Hart, right tackle for Cincinnati, he's only 25. Among this group that we're getting through, he's got one of the better contracts, which means that they found the most potential in him, with at least in theory. So there's a lot of guys. Alex Redmond, a guard for Cincinnati also. Most of these guys here are exclusive rights guys. Bobby Hart is unrestricted, Marcus Martin unrestricted, and Eric Flowers, who better not get a look for the Colts. We've all seen what he can do, and it ain't much. He's only 25 too, but he's unrestricted, and he's just not going to be there. So a lot of these younger guys are restricted or exclusive rights free agents. Those mean ultimately, in a nutshell, without getting too particular right now, that basically the team has the option to sign them before they hit free agency. So Adam Pankey, a tackle for Green Bay, young, 25 years old. I mean, there's a couple other guys here. Cameron Fleming for Dallas, whether he hits free agency or not, who knows, but he's unrestricted, and that's somebody to kind of keep an eye on, in my opinion. He's not that top-level dude, I don't think, but he was good enough to fill in. I think he was solid enough and somebody that you could definitely bring in to kind of challenge anybody who you consider to be starting level. Donovan Smith out of Tampa Bay, 26 years old. Jake Fisher, left tackle for Cincinnati. There's a lot of these guys. Greg Robinson, there's a ton of free agents right now throughout the NFL, and a lot of them under 27 years old. So going through all these guys, I mean, even Isaac Asiata, okay, out of Miami, 26, he's a guard. Solid, in my opinion, would be solid depth there. You've got 27-year-old in Nick Easton, who's a center guard. Chance Warmack, who's a guard. Cedric Ogbuye. There's a few of these guys as you get up into the 27 range that you see. Billy Turner, guard out of Denver, also. Ty Sambrio, out of Atlanta, 27, left tackle. A lot of these guys, a lot of them, could be quality signings for the Colts. I mean, they're just getting to where they need to find guys who can really push and really battle for what they've got here. Jared Valdir, little older, right tackle from Denver, unrestricted. Maybe you do that, but do you need it? That's one of the questions. Do you really need to spend that kind of money along with free agency in order to get a guy that you think can spot start or that could start? That's hard to tell. There's a lot of these guys that are kind of falling into that range right there where you see that, though they could potentially improve their line quite a bit, but do you want to spend that kind of money when you've got the two other options to, or the other options really to kind of go young? And then do you have the wherewithal to wait and try to find your guy in the draft? Those are where they are. There's a couple of these 31, 33-year-old guys, Andy Levitre, I already mentioned Spencer Long, but Roger Saffold. Some of these guys could be great improvements and would probably be, you know, a massive improvement along the offensive line in terms of total talent. But, yes, the Colts have a ton of money. They've got a ton of money. But do you want to – I mean, we know, and we have already talked about the offensive line, defensive line, injuries. That is the mix right there, guys. There are not any spots on the field where there are more arms, legs, and falling 350-pound bodies than in the trenches. Knees get blown out, ankles get twisted and turned, and that is – I mean, shoulders, biceps, all these things get pulled, and – this is just one of those things. Do you spend that kind of money on a guy who potentially could be gone for the season before they even actually hit training camp? You know what I mean? That's not something that, in my opinion, that Chris Ballard is going to want to spend his money on. I think Chris Ballard is going to want to try to find some younger guys who could be that battle, but I don't think he's going looking for a high-priced starter, especially in the 29 to 30-year-old range or above. That has been kind of his MO to this point. So let's not assume that that's going to happen. But if he feels that there's a guy out there who can stay healthy, who can anchor a line, who can definitely start at right tackle or left tackle if given the opportunity, then he might do it. He's got to spend some money. You can't spend it all in just playmakers. You've got to spend it in both sides of the line. You've got to spend it wisely. And this is going to be one of the, I think maybe one of the trickier shots for Chris Ballard to find that, you know, the price range with the talent, with the age and all that stuff involved. There's no doubt that the Colts have a desperate need for another really good depth guy that they can trust. I just don't see him spending a ton of money on it. I see that he would probably choose to, like I said, go with some of the younger, maybe lower priced free agents, kind of to kind of keep that. It's not just that you have to spend the money, but you've got to plan for the future and try to make sure that you're not throwing money away in the future before you even get there. So does he get these younger guys in, try to make some quality depth out of them, moving around guys who are going to be in and out in September, you know, before the season actually gets underway, try to pull some guys in there. I don't see this as a massive priority in terms of, you know, spending high on the offensive line. I think that Ballard trusts himself enough in the draft process to where he thinks he can find a guy in the fourth, fifth round who is, you know, more than capable of maybe not just playing one position either, but playing another position as well as being an integral part of their depth. So this is kind of where they go. And don't be surprised if LaRaven Clark's not on the team. Don't be surprised if Joe Haig doesn't quite make it through or something like that. These guys are all battling all over again for their NFL, you know, lives, more or less, at least with the Colts. So this is going to be fun to watch him kind of pull guys in. I see it being a little more active than most would probably suggest or assume. But I don't see him going big money to try to fill those spots either. So we've named off a bunch of names. There are more than that, probably some that are more important or more quality players that I've bypassed. But let's be honest, these offensive linemen, you don't hear a lot about them unless they're awful or they're really good. So a lot of these young guys, we don't really know the potential of what they've got. One thing is for sure, you can be certain that Chris Ballard and his scouts are looking at this with fine-tooth combs. They really want to make sure that they can find a guy who can come in here and be effective. And a lot of the things that Chris Ballard's done to this point suggests that he's probably going to do a pretty good job of that. So I think that that's kind of where we're at with the offensive line. They've got a great thought or a great potential moving forward, guys. This offensive line could be really good for a few years, but we all see the massive drop in offensive line talent from year to year in different teams. The Dallas Cowboys a couple years ago, right? They're nothing but talk about they're the best offensive line in the league. The running game was great behind them. They were able to protect and do all this stuff. Things can fall off dramatically. The Colts have a new offensive line coach. He's very well respected, but you just don't know if he's going to hit home with the guys the same way that maybe DeGuglielmo did, or is just a different fit, or these guys don't have the back and forth, the chemistry with the coach that they, you know, may need or want. It's really hard to tell, but one thing's for sure. Everything has to come together. Chris Ballard's running the show. You can bet he's going to bring in people to make things right, to get things as competitive as possible, to make these coaches coach, and to hold, honestly, Frank Reich and his staff accountable. So I don't think that we could should expect anything less. We've seen a lot of great stuff from Chris Ballard and this offensive line, getting them where they are, re-signing Mark Glowinski to a pretty solid, modest contract. Especially for the way he played this year and the surprise that he gave the Colts and the big boost, in my opinion, that he gave the Colts. Colts would have been in trouble after losing Slauson if he didn't step up, and he's more than stepped up. He earned that starting spot regardless, in my opinion. So that's kind of where we're at. I think we're in good shape, but I don't, like I said, it's still going to be active along the offensive line this offseason, and the Colts are still going to be trying to find players to get in there and do their job. So that's what we got for right now. We're going to get into the defense tomorrow. We're going to continue to bang these out. I've gotten a little late start throughout the week, but we're going to bang a few more out this week, and we'll try to get some other stuff going on. Also, be ready to be a part of Stampede Blue draft guide. We've gotten that underway. We've gotten some scouting started, and we're excited to get this thing started as well. We've got some new faces that are going to be a part of it. We've got everybody hitting their position groups. It's going to be great work. Last year's guide was fantastic, and you guys responded and it was really awesome experience. And it was great for you guys. I think that you guys appreciated it and look back on it. Kind of look back at those if you did get one and kind of see where we had them ranked. I think that overall the Stampede Blue crew did very well in terms of their scouting. Excuse me, for the most part. Most positions I felt, you know, you kind of see the end results of them. Not so much where they were drafted, but see the results, see their stats, see how they panned out. And I think that overall, I think Stampede Blue crew did a pretty good job. So that's all we've got for today's show, guys. Like I said, we'll hit the defense next. And we will talk to you guys soon right here on the Colts Cast.
Stampede Blue.